I'm Kathleen McGrath, a content project manager on the Developer Division User Education team. This video is based on the hands-on lab entitled Authoring and Running Manual Tests in Visual Studio 2010 Using Microsoft Test and Lab Manager. In this video, you will learn how to use Microsoft Test and Lab Manager to author a manual test case, run the test using Microsoft Test Runner, capture an action recording, and create shared steps that can be reused across multiple test cases. I'll open Microsoft Test and Lab Manager from Start, All Programs. Under Microsoft Visual Studio 2010, I'll choose Microsoft Test and Lab Manager. This is a new tool dedicated to manual software testing in Visual Studio 2010. In this video, I'm going to focus on creating a new manual test case and running it. I'll click the Plan Activity button at the top of the Test and Lab Manager window. In the left pane, I'll highlight End-to-End Tests, and then click the New button in the right pane. In the title box, I'll type, create a new account, add items to shopping cart, and check out. Now I'm ready to add steps to the test. Each step includes an action, which describes the action the tester needs to perform. Optionally, a step can include an expected result, which describes the expected result of the given action. In the Steps panel, I'll create a set of steps that do not have specified expected results. The easiest way to perform this is to type the text in each step and then press the Enter key. I'll start by typing open iBuySpy web application, and then we'll put the URL http://vs2010beta2:1010. The next one is click on sign in, click on register, type at full name, at email, at password, at confirm password. Click on submit, click on communications, click add to cart under fake mustache translator. Click final check out, click submit, confirm order was submitted, and then finally close browser. Note the type at full name, at email, at password, at confirm password step. In this step, I use the at sign to indicate that there were iteration-specific variables to be used during the manual test pass. You can define which variables to use by scrolling down to the parameter values section of the form and then entering them for each iteration. I'll set up values for two iterations. Under full name, I'll type Michael, AFFRONTI, and his email is michael@ibuyspy.com. For the password, we'll just type in password-1, and then I'll just type it in again for the confirm password. For the next iteration, and I'll just scroll down so you can see it, we'll type in Robin Wood, email robin@ibuyspy.com. For the password, we'll use QWERTY123, and then again for the confirm password. Some tests will require that the manual tester visually confirm the result of an action. I'll locate the confirm order was submitted step and set the expected result field to quote checkout complete quote message should appear along with order number and order total. Note that this adds a checkbox next to the step action so the tester is required to indicate whether or not the test passed. I'll save the test case by clicking Save. Note that when the test case is saved, it's added as a project work item. Now I'll run the manual test plan that I created. I'll click the Test button to enter test mode. In the left pane, I'll select the End-to-End Test node, and in the right pane, I'll select create a new account, add item to shopping cart, and check out test, and then I'll click Run. When the Microsoft Test Runner is launched, it provides the option to record the actions taken by the tester. This is a key feature as it enables fast-forwarding for future test runs and recording more details for reviewing tests later. I'll click the Create Action Recording checkbox, then click Start Test. Once the test runner is done initializing, I'll go ahead and launch Internet Explorer. In Internet Explorer, I'll type http://vs2010beta2:1010, and then I'll press Enter. Note that it may take a few moments for the site to load and run. Once the site is loaded, the first step of the test has been completed successfully. To manually pass a test step, I'll click the Result drop-down next to the step, and then click Control Windows Q, which indicates that the test has passed. Alternatively, you can just press Control Windows Q. Note that it's not a requirement to pass or fail tests other than those that require validation, such as with expected results, but it does help when correlating tester actions with steps. Note that when you pass a test, it automatically sets the next step as active, so you don't need to click back and forth between the runner and the browser. In Internet Explorer, I'll click the Sign In button. That worked, so I'll press Control Window Q to indicate success. Now I'll click Register. That took me to a registration page, so I'll again press Control Window Q to indicate success. Next, I'll click the text box next to the full name field in the Create a New Account form. I can press Control V to paste the first iteration's full name variable into the box. Note that the test runner will display a data-bound icon next to the variable in the list to indicate that it's associating this text box with this variable for future test iterations. The test runner automatically moves to the next variable in the list so I can continue pasting into the form without having to select each variable. So I'll paste in the variable for email, password, and confirm password. At this point, each of the variables should be data-bound. Now I'll press Control Windows Q to indicate that the step passed. I'll click Submit, and then press Control Windows Q again. I'll click Communications, and then press Control Windows Q. Then under Fake Mustache Translator, I'll click Add to Cart. It's added, so I'll press Control Windows Q. Next, I'll click Final Checkout. Then I'll press Control Windows Q to indicate that step passed, and I'll click Submit. Again, Control Windows Q. Now I'll confirm that the Order Submit page has the required details, and then I'll go ahead and press Control Windows Q. Next, I'll close Internet Explorer. No problem there, so we'll press Control Windows Q again. And then finally, I'll click End Iteration to finish the first test iteration. Now that we've completed the first iteration, we can run the second iteration. I'll click the drop-down next to Test 1 of 1, Iteration 1 of 2, and select Iteration 2. Then I'll click Start Test. Note that this time I don't want to check Create Action Recording as it will overwrite the original I just recorded. Instead, I'm going to use the version I just recorded to aid in the running of this iteration. I'll hold down the Shift key and click the Confirm Order Was Submitted step to select all steps leading to it inclusively. And then I'll click Play to run those steps. Note that using the mouse or keyboard can interfere with the test automation, so you shouldn't use them until the test runner indicates that the test has caught up to your steps. Note also that this automated process uses the data specified for the second iteration of our test in order to complete the registration form. When the test runner indicates that the specified steps have been completed, I'll confirm the order submission page, which is looking good, and then press Control Windows Q to indicate the step has passed. I'll click Play to run the remaining steps, and then click End Iteration to finish the second test iteration. Now I'll save the test results by clicking Save and Close. Now we'll review the results of the manual test run. I'll click the View Results button in the right pane, and in the Test Results view, you can see more details on the test runs, including details about the iterations, results, and associated attachments. In the Test Step Details section, I'll click the link to the video under 2, click on Sign In. This will launch the test video replay for the specific time of the step. Note that the times will vary depending on how long each step took during your test run. I'll go ahead and close the video player. Now I'll scroll down and expand the Attachments panel. This panel contains various attachments recorded during the test that can help with diagnostics. So I'll select SystemInformation.xml and then click Open. And then I'll click Open in the confirmation dialog as well. This opens the file inside of Visual Studio. This file contains details about the system the tests were run on. I'll close the Visual Studio 2010 instance open for systeminformation.xml, and then I'll click Save and Close to close the test results view. Now I'll show you how to create shared steps. A shared step combines multiple steps that are commonly performed in sequence into a single logical step which can be shared across tests. For example, if all logged-in tests required the same steps, you can define them as a shared step to be common across all tests. Then, if the process for logging in changes down the road, you can update the shared step in one place and it will effectively reflect the update in all tests that reference it. In the right pane, I'll click Open Test Case to open the selected test. In the Steps panel, I'll click on Sign In, and then while holding the Shift key, I'll click on Submit so that a total of 4 sequential steps are highlighted. I'll right-click the selection and then select Create Shared Steps. In the Create Shared Steps dialog, I'll enter Create New Account as the title and then click OK. Note that there is now a single step for creating an account, which can be referenced for multiple tests. Next, I'll right-click the shared step and select Open Shared Steps. Here you could edit the shared steps as needed. I'll click Save and Close to save the shared steps, and then I'll click Save and Close to save and close the test. You can try out these hands-on labs by downloading the Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2 virtual machines along with copies of the hands-on labs. To get instructions for doing this, just go to Brian Keller's blog at blogs.msdn.com/BrianKell and click on the December 2009 archives link.